All right, look, of course there's no time to go through the entire Haggadah. And now and then, over the next 2 weeks, every few days, we'll do a different section of the Haggadah, from different Haggadahs, different Tzaddikim. But the Maharal, when it comes to Pesach, there's a whole sefer called Gevurah Hashem, besides his commentary on the Haggadah, which overlaps in many ways the Gevurah Hashem. To really, really get to the bottom of Pesach, to have a feel, you know, when you come into a Yontif, you can't come into a Yontif unprepared. And I don't just mean, you know, kashering the kitchen and checking for chametz. Of course that's preparing. But if you come into a Yontif without really going through the svarim and getting a feel for what's happening, and what every Yontif has its own personality, its own way. The Yom Tov are called Mikrei Kodesh. Mikrei Kodesh. And the Tzaddikim say that each Yontif is calling you towards a different, is pulling you, it's Koreos Cha, draws you towards a different type of Kedusha. Especially when it comes to Pesach, to have a feel for the Kedusha Sayontif, for the Kedusha Sachag of Pesach, it's almost impossible without the Maharal. The Maharal opens up new ways of understanding Pesach. So, we're going to try over the next couple of weeks to learn a lot of Maharal. The piece here is from the 51st chapter in the Gevurah Hashem. It's on the beginning of the Haggadah, and Halach Manya. Some say Halach Manya, Halach Manya, Ki Halach Manya. The different versions, different texts. Now, we don't have to read the first paragraph. Beginning with the second paragraph on the right says, was Halach Manya, page Reish Yud Ches, Halach Manya. The second paragraph on the bottom of the page, Halach Manya. So everybody knows that we begin the Haggadah in such a way. We begin by saying this is the lechem oni, this is the bread of poverty. My father used to always say that shmur matzah is so expensive, it's the bread that makes you poor. It makes you poor. So lechem oni, that we begin the seder in such a way with halach mani is itself an astounding thing. Many, many questions, but we're not going to go into right now. Why is it in Aramaic? What kind of invitation is this anyway? Everybody who's going to be at the Seder is already at the Seder. It's not like you're inviting new people to come in at this point. Everybody's here already. Why is this the beginning of the Seder? The point here, though, of the Maharal is to explain why is it that matzah is called lechem oni? Why is matzah called bread of poverty? The poor man's bread, bread of affliction, bread of suffering, and bread of affliction. And why is it necessary to start the Haggadah in such a way? So the Maharal writes, now, you've seen some Maharal in the past, it will seem very often, when you read the Maharal, it seems as if he's repeating things. That just means we don't understand the differences, the slight nuances and differences. We don't understand the Maharal enough to get to the very depths of what he's saying, so sometimes it appears to be a little bit repetitious, and he has sort of his own vocabulary. He developed a unique vocabulary, so it's not so easy to learn the Maharal. But when you learn it initially, it doesn't sound like, you know, it's not like when you pick up, let's say, you know, something from the Ishvitsa that hits you like in 10 seconds, or Rabbi Nachman, like you get blown away immediately. With the Maharal, it's after you look at it, after you finish learning it, then over the course of the next few days you go, oh wow, that's what that means. And you start thinking about other things that are connected to that. And you realize how the Maharal is like a wellspring that gets stronger and more beautiful after you've learned it. It grows more. Halach man, yeah, this is the bread of affliction. That's what I begin to say, the halach man, yeah. Yeshlis Schultz, Maharal says we should ask, the question must be asked. Loma nikra hamatzah lechem oni. Why is matzah called the bread of poverty? Lechem oni. Very after shehino kematzah shleima could be, it's kematzah shleima, bal shema nikra is hamatzah lechem oni. He says, what, matzah can be very, very beautiful. A matzah, it could be, why is it dafka lechem oni? V'isa l'ktsasa sh'erotsa l'farish divya ha'goda ha'zoiz l'kach nikra o'inim b'nei sh'in n'mucha v'ena gavoha. So the moral says, I've seen some Mepharshim who explained that the reason it's called Lechem Oni is because the matzah is nemucha, which means it doesn't rise. It's humble. It's like a poor man. It's flat. It's not, it doesn't hold of itself. It hasn't risen. Shehachomitz kashen is chametz unase gavoha. Because the nature of chametz is that chametz rises. And that matzah is small, like this poor person. So it's a symbol, according to these mefarshim, it's a symbol of humility. The matzah is humility and chometz is gaiva. Chometz is raz, the yetzer hara that lifts itself up, that raises itself, and the matzah is a symbol of humility, it's a symbol of the poor man. That's one thing the Moral says I've seen in the Mefarsh. Hatam Hasheni. Another explanation that I've seen is Pas HaMatzah Hikarshal Akel B'Stumcha. The Moral says that all of us have experienced this, that matzah is difficult to digest. It's difficult to digest, and everybody here knows that it takes its toll on one's stomach. That's why it's a poor man's bread. He brings, I mean, this is what he's referring to, this is Ibn Ezra. Rabbi Avraham Ibn Ezra tells that one time when he was imprisoned, he had very bad mazel, Ibn Ezra. So he used to wander from country to country. He was very poor, he had difficulties. So one time, I think he was in Istanbul, if I'm not mistaken, or Constantinople. He was there and he was imprisoned. And when he was there, they gave him matzah to eat. The Muslims gave him matzah to eat. And Ibn Ezra comments that the lechem oni, the matzah, is in all likelihood that what we were eating when we were slaves in Egypt. Because slaves are given matzah. Why? Because you eat a small amount and it stays in the stomach. It stays there. You know, it repeats itself over and over and it stays there. So there are those who say that's a very practical reason why the matzah is eaten on Pesach, to remember the bread of poverty. And the bread of poverty refers to the matzahs that we had to eat when we were slaves, as a poor man's bread, as a slave's bread. So you shouldn't have to feed him good food. You give him a lot of matzah and he's full. And that's the meaning of the Haggadah, according to these Mefarshim. This is the bread of poverty that our ancestors ate in Egypt. Yeah? So these Mefarshim say that that's what it means, that our ancestors used to mamish eat this stuff in Egypt. That's what they ate. Peyushka b'Mitzrayim ha'yu Mitzrayim ha'chilu mes'Yisrael matzah k'dei sh'yisachah b'tztumcha sh'lam l'yisachal sh'derch l'hachal matzah l'avodim ha'yisna v'aydim. Because the Egyptians used to feed us matzahs, so we'd be able to be full and be able to have our strength and to work, and it costs very little, it's nothing, and that's what we used to eat. Ad kan devrayim. So the Maharal, in his own inimitable style, says, V'hem dvarim sheyachish ha'kosu v'emes. All of these things that I've just told you from the other Mefarshim contradict that which is written and that which is true. In other words, the Maharal disagrees with all of this. The Maharal disagrees. Here he's being nice. You should see when he's really upset.
You can't say that some parishes.
The Maharal can say. No, you and I can't say. The Maharal can say it, and he doesn't hesitate to say it. Especially when it comes to Rabbi Abba, when it comes to Ibn Ezra, the Maharal is very, very willing to attack. Anyway, it's not our place to judge. Kilo nimtza b'shum mokum. The Maral says, "La nimtza b'shum mokum lebekosav lebemishnah lebetalmud shamitzrim ayu machlim sal matzah." The Maral says that doesn't say any place, not in Tanakh, not in Mishnah, and not in Gemara, anywhere, that the Mitzrim, that the Egyptians used to give us to eat matzah. Va'adaraba, just the opposite. B'sifri amur parshas b'halois lezachanu sadogish anoichel Mitzrayim chinam. First of all, the Pasuk says, you remember when the Jews were complaining? Oh, we remembered we used to have the good fish, right? And we used to have the fish and the squash and the other good foods that we used to eat in Egypt. They didn't say, All we remember from Egypt is like Horace Margaretin, the strikes, you know, masses. They said, we remember the dog, we remember the fish, it was good, we had good food in Mitzrayim. Yesh binyin shah mitzvim ha yunais lam dogim chinam v'halai ksiv l'chu yivdu v'tevin lo yunais lachem v'tevin lo yunais lachem chinam dogim ha yunais lachem chinam el chinam in ha-mitzviz. When the Jews said that we used to eat fish for free, so Chazal say a very deep thing. You know, as they were complaining when they were in the desert, you know, we used to eat it for free. So it's an odd thing. So they're complaining that over here they're just getting mon to eat, and so what, they're paying for the mon. What does it mean when they were saying in Egypt we used to eat for free? What does it mean for free? Since when does a slave pay for anything anyway? We had no responsibilities. For free means what? We didn't have any Torah to keep. So they're like, now it's, yeah, so great. So now we get food to eat. So all Hashem says, if you want food to eat, you have to keep 630 mitzvahs, you know, and a couple million drabanas and stuff, then you get food to eat. But the Mitzrayim was good. Welfare. Right? Welfare. A Machiah. Chinam and HaMitzvahs. It was good when we didn't have the responsibility of keeping mitzvahs. V'ayit shakos v'ayimel etoichel olav chamesh shivas yom teichel olav matzahs lechamayini kibichipozen, on the other side, ratio test, kibichipozen yatzosim Mitzrayim. So the Torah itself says that for 7 days we eat matzahs, that alechamayini, because we left Mitzrayim in a hurry. Now we rushed out of Mitzrayim. V'yim lechamayini nekral shem shemachil naisayoni. And if it's called Lechem Ayni, because of the reason that Rabbi Avraham Ibn Ezra says that it's the food that is given to a poor man, if that's the reason it's called Lechem Ayni, Lomar Amar HaTayra Toichel Av Matzos Lechem Ayni Shem Achilin Lesa La'aniyim Ki B'chipozen Yatzasa. Then why does the Torah say that to eat the Korban Pesach Lechem Ayni Ki B'chipozen Yatzasa, that we left in a hurry? V'lomar Korah Yisai B'Shem Ayni. The whole point of redemption, everybody knows that Pesach night, we celebrate our freedom. Therefore, we lean over like noblemen, right? And we have wine and so on. There are chayrus, everything we do to show the gula, to show redemption. So the moral would say, if it's why would there be lechem oni? Why would the meaning of lechem oni be to remind us that while we were in Mitzrayim, this is the food that they used to give us to eat. The bread of poverty, the bread of affliction, is the bread of redemption. It's the lechem of geula. It's the bread of geula. So what point is there? That was, according to Ibn Ezra, the whole point of eating matzah is this: what they used to give us as slaves. Tamal says the whole point of lechem ayini is to strengthen our connection to the redemption, to geula, and redemption is ashiris, is wealth, not poverty. So Maral's explaining this pasuk pshat, and then he's going to go to a deeper level. Maral says that it's called lechem oni, the opposite of matzah ashira. There's something called matzah ashira. Nowadays, egg matzahs, right? You heard of egg matzahs? So it means matzahs that are made with juices, right? Fruit juices. So you know that people are healthy. We're not going to talk about that halacha right now. That's not something that people who are healthy or well should be eating on Pesach. Maybe there's a difference between Sfarim and Ashkenazim. We'll talk about this when it comes to the halacha. But at any rate, that's called matzah shira. Matzah that is made from fruit juices and things like that, that's called matzah wealthy bread. The opposite of regular matzah is called lechem only, a poor man's bread. So he says, Shekasha yesh ba shemen u'dvash, when the matzah has an oil and honey, Nikras Ashir, it's called rich. Ki ador b'azah ma'ishur halachem, because it makes the bread wealthy. It makes the bread rich. It doesn't mean it's a rich man's bread. It means that the bread is rich. It's rich with honey and with oil and so on. V'zeh ki ha'oni she'en lo ela atzmo. You're going to hear what a deep thing the Maral is saying. What does an oni have, a poor man? He has nothing except himself. We're talking about real poverty, not the... You know, somebody's poor because they can't get a call TV. Real poverty. Ki ha'ani, She'ain lo ella atzmo. He has nothing but himself, the poor man. That's all he has. She'ain lo momen rak atzmo v'gufo. He doesn't have any money. All he has is me. I have myself. I can work. I don't have anything in addition to myself. What is it? There's nothing here in addition to myself. I don't own anything. I don't own a house. I don't have any cash. I don't have anything. I only have me. But matzah gam ken kasher ein barak etzem ha'isa. The same thing with matzah. Not with matzah shiur. Not with egg matzahs. Matzahs that are made with oils and things. But regular matzah. Matzah shmur. Lechem oni. All it is the etzem ha'isa. It's the dough. She'atzmus ha'isu ha'mayim v'ha'kemach, which means the water and the flour. V'zeo atzmus isu b'zahavi lechem oni. That's lechem oni. It only has, just like a poor man only has it himself. There's nothing added to the poor man. So too, matzah, lechem oni, is like an oni, like a poor man. There's nothing besides what it is. That's what it is what you see. That's what it is. The matzah doesn't have a Swiss bank account, you understand? It doesn't have to do with the person who's eating it. This is the moral of Chiddush. Everybody's talking about why is matzah itself lechem oni. So one says because it's flat and the other one is tall. Chametz rises. Because this is the kind of food they gave in Egypt. No. Lechem oni means that just like a poor man is completely alone and has nothing but himself, the matzah is a food that it has only itself. It's only the dough, nothing else. And if there's any chametz in it, there's any yeast, that means that there's something that has been added to the dough. Something that's been added to the essence. A taste. Something different, something added. And that's even wealthier than matzah ashira. Matzah ashira, like egg matzahs, they can still be kosher for Pesach, right? It has a liquid that makes it wealthier. However, if the dough has yeast in it, chametz mamish, it's already now so far away from being a matzah. That's what's lechem oni. In other words, it can still be matzah and kosher lePesach if it has certain juices in it, because it hasn't distorted. Completely. It hasn't completely distorted the essential dough. The fact that a liquid has been added. But if there's chametz in it, then it's no longer called lechem oni. Why is it no longer called refor? Why is it no longer called lechem oni if it has chametz in it? Because the oni only has himself. And this matzah is no longer alone. The matzah has something extra. The matzah has a tam, it has a taste, it's chametz, it has something else. It's no longer alone. Now he's going to develop this idea. You're going to have a whole, from this, a whole different way of understanding what a matzah is. So Maral says, "Vulay yakshalach, ma inyan ha'aniyas al achayrus." So now the Maral says, "I know what you're thinking about." Maral says, "I know what you're thinking about." So why would, if I just said before that this should be the bread of our redemption, right? It's not the bread of slaves. It's the bread of redemption. So if that's the case, the Maral says, "I know you're wondering. Why would we make this connection between chayrus? What does chayrut mean? Chayrus, what does it mean? Freedom. And anias, and poverty. Why the connection between anias? Because we're eating matzah because it's the bread of redemption. And Hashem made it that the bread of redemption should not be so unbelievably poor that it has nothing but itself. Some are all saying, how could these two go together? Look at his words. They're two opposites. Hacheris v'hanius. The poor person is generally what? Nabuch, schlepping and enslaved and working for someone. He doesn't have his own self. He's nabuch, right, downtrodden. So how do you join together, Mal says, how do you join together Cheirus, freedom, and hanius, and poverty? Hello, Dove Zayn Kasha. Stamal says this isn't a Kasha. Kiha Nis Batsmai. Hayra al Hagula. Now listen to this, Chiddush. Listen to this, what Stamal is saying. Poverty is itself redemption. Poverty is itself redemption. Shein Inin Hagula Raksha Yoitsev and Lashem Sirif El Zulah. So let's understand what redemption really means. What redemption really, really means is that there's no one in the world who makes you be anything other than yourself. Yes? Redemption means that there's nothing superficial outside of yourself that is attached to you. You're free to be exactly who you are. Nothing different, nothing extra, nothing from the outside that changes and molds you to be something other than who you really want to be, and who you are, who you essentially are. Real redemption means that you have no chains. You have no chains that imprison you to somebody else's ideas, somebody else's ideologies, somebody else, period. Lo kamo ha'eved. What's the nature of an eved? She'ena omeid ba'atzmo. The very definition of a slave is what? Eina omeid ba'atzmo. What? He's not in his own. Ve'yishlo tziruf ha'zoloso. Hu ha'adam. He's completely enslaved to his master. According to Halacha, an eved is an extension of the master. It's like a slave doesn't have his own personality, doesn't have his own being. He's just like he's an extended arm of the master. The kacha darvish sheyesh ba ashirus ena omed ba'atzmo. Rak yesh lo tzir fel kinyano. When somebody is wealthy, he's not by himself. The wealthier the person, the more complicated are his ties to other things. You know that? The person who's completely, completely poor is completely uncomplicated, has no ties. The person who is rich is enslaved to many, many things. Fame is a gula. Therefore, wealth is not redemption. Smiles explaining that if you would say that the matzah is lechem oni and lechem oni is telling us about al bnei adam who are b'nei chorin, telling us about free men, about free people, you know, to have freedom. So said, you can ask the question of Alain and Yisim and Chayr's Klal. Poverty is not a sign of freedom. Mal says, you can ask the question, poverty is not a sign of freedom. Avalachlam, oini hazehu bo'al etzim hayitziyah l'chayr's. Listen, the moral saying, the lechem oni, the matzah we eat on Pesach, it's not telling us about what a poor man eats or doesn't eat. It's telling us about the process of becoming free. Of being free. Of becoming free. Pesach is the yontov when we celebrate not the time that we were already able to sit in our own homes and have what we need. Pesach is the celebration of becoming free. Of tearing off the ropes of Mitzrayim and being able to become our own people. And how do you become free? You become free by no longer being held captive. By no longer being captured by something else. That's how you become free. What you do with your freedom is up to you. America is a free country, so to speak. But people attach themselves to all kinds of sick things. That's your business. But the point of becoming free, becoming free means that which was artificially holding you, that which wasn't allowing you to be your own person, that which was causing you to be simply an extension, a tool of someone else, that is cut. That is severed. That is destroyed. That's what he says the role. When there's nothing else that's connected to you, when there's nothing that you have to answer to, no one whose lifestyle you have to live up to, or whose ideas of life you have to go along with, that's redemption. That's gula. Therefore Hashem commanded us to eat lechem ayini. Shuha matzah b'leil ha-yitziyah, to eat matzah on the night of the yitziyah, on the night of leaving. Ba'avar she'ein b'matzah rak etzem alechem, because all the matzah has is itself. Shmuel. No. All the matzah has is what it is. Its essence it has. Its essence is what it has. Nothing else. Nothing artificial, nothing different, nothing extra. It has only itself. And it's like a poor man. And that's what Hashem wants to feel Pesach night. Hashem wants to feel Pesach night. Hashem wants us to feel like poor people. But not poor people who don't, not poor people who are lacking in freedom. Now, we always associate poverty with something which is very, very negative. That's why it's hard for us to think this way. We associate poverty with suffering, with misery. But there are times when when it's possible for a wealthy person to envy a poor person, and I bet you, look, I've never been wealthy, but I was going to say, I bet you a million dollars, that the richest people in the world have at times, if they have any brains at all, envied the poorest people in the world. For only a moment. Only for a moment. You know when? It's like when his corporation's falling apart, and there are 10,000 people that he realizes hates him and are trying to take away all of his money. Right? And when he can't enjoy a simple moment of quiet and peace because he has so many, there's so many complications that have developed in his life as a result of all that he has and all that he controls and all that he owns and so on. Remember the poem by Edward Arlington Robinson, Richard Corey. Have you studied that? You ever heard of it?
Yeah.
It's a poem. It was a song that was made about it in the 60s by Simon and Garfunkel. But basically there was this man, Richard Corey, loved up within Maharal and something that's unholy. So there was this man who everybody, he was the wealthiest man in town, and everybody envied him. I'm sure everybody envied this person. Why? Because he had such beauty and such class, and everything he did was such elegance and such wealth, and everybody wanted to be like Richard Corey. Everybody in town wanted to be like Richard Corey. And all the poor slobs in town looked at their miserable lives, and they cursed their lives, and they cursed the day they were born. And everybody said, I wish I could be Richard Corey. And then they were all shocked because the poor people were saying one day, they were shocked when they read in the morning paper that Richard Corey went home and put a bullet through his head. That Richard Corey killed himself. And they couldn't believe it. And in the song that was made based upon the poem, you know, the poor people, I cursed my poverty. And I wish I could be Richard Corey. But then one night, Richard Corey went home and put a bullet through his head. And the song ends, I worked in his factory and I cursed the life I was leading and I cursed my poverty. And I wished I could be Richard Corey. Every Richard Corey of the world, not all of them end up putting bullets through their heads. Some take drugs, they drink a lot, mostly there's something. So there's something doing. But there are probably, I would imagine, there are moments in the life of a rich person where he envies the poor person, because the poor person has something he can't have. You know, what's that? What is it that a poor person has a rich person can't have?
Freedom.
Mamish freedom. It's bitter. It's bittersweet. It's bitter because the poor man has nothing. But there is something that the poor man has. He's not enslaved to anyone, anything, anybody. He's completely free. He has nothing but himself to live with. There's nothing else that he has except his own heart, his own brain, his own kishkas. That's all he has. Because the rich man has a billion distractions. Has grown chametzik over the years. Chametz, more and more chametz. That diverts him away from the essence of who he is. Any time in life a person ever had to, God forbid, be under difficult situations, be away from home, wherever you're in a state of poverty, you begin to think on a deeper level about who you are and what your purpose in life is. It's the truth. Whenever you're away. The reason it's so hard to become a person, the reason it's so hard to become a great person when you're in your own house with mommy and daddy, because you're not free. You're wealthy. Even if it's a poor home, but you're wealthy. Why? Because you have. The Soloveitchik said a very deep reason why is it that, according to Halacha, aside from the obvious reasons of tznius and concentration, why is it, according to Halacha, it's forbidden for men and women to sit together in shul? Aside from the obvious reasons, why is it forbidden? So Soloveitchik said, because if you put a husband and wife together in shul, it's the opposite of what tefillah is supposed to accomplish. Tefillah is supposed to, davening means to create within yourself a sense of being completely alone in the presence of Hashem and having nobody to whom you could turn except for the master of the world. Nobody to turn to except for Hashem. But when you're sitting next to your husband, your wife, so you know how it is. She'll take care of it, he'll take care of it. There's someone that you rely upon, there's someone that you trust. You have to be, when you're davening, you have to feel like you're mamish, standing in the presence of Hashem. It's a good question. But apparently there's a different relationship between... In other words, it's understood, Rafael, that for a certain amount of years that one does share. Maybe you learn how to talk to Hashem, maybe you learn what Hashem is by realizing who your father is. And you know, every single medrash tells us this is compared to a father and a son, right? A king and a son. So maybe we need that as part of growing up. But it comes to time in life where you're supposed to be growing up already. And at that point in life, you know, you can still say, like your father and shul, I mean, after you're married too. What I'm saying is, when it comes to the relationship between a husband and a wife, of course there's much more intimacy. And there's much more of a tendency to share. It's true. So, the advantage of poverty, we're talking about abject poverty, total poverty, the advantage is that you're completely alone. And although that's terrifying, and it's depressing, but it's redemption. Of a matzah ashira, the last line. Of a matzah ashira, any yotzeh bar b'avur, ki yesh l'zayis ha-matzah tziruf. You can't be yotzeh the mitzvah of eating matzahs on Pesach night by using egg matzahs, by using matzah ashira. Why? Even though it's not chametz. Because it has something in it to it, which is the what? The juice. Shanosin ba vein kan gula. Here? What does it mean vein kan gula? There is no redemption here. There's no redemption because there are already ties, there's already enslavement. There's already obligations, responsibilities, there's already something to answer to, something that's extra, something that's in addition to the essence. Another taste of something, but not the etzem, the essence. And when a person is alone, when a person is poor, when a person is by himself, when a person feels completely poor, the person has to find all truth and all reality inside oneself. Inside oneself. It's a hard thing to do. You see, in America, people hide behind cars. We were talking about that the other day, right? How people like behind cars. Like the car is like... And you see how people are enslaved to cars? The mamash avadim to the cars, like slaves to the cars. Shining and polishing and revving it up and doing all kinds of things like getting special, I don't know, air sweeteners or whatever they... Like people are mamash, or people are enslaved to their houses. Enslaved to their houses. Mamash slaves. Slaves. And it can become a very bitter slavery. But the person who has nothing, as much as we pity him, there's something that he has that we can never have. He has a taste of what it means to be completely to oneself, not to be enslaved. You're right. I mean, those, one second, those people, what you're saying is right. I mean, those people, people are afraid to be left alone with themselves. People are afraid to be left alone with their thoughts because very often there's either nothing to fall back on deep inside, or if they think about experiences of growing up and difficulties that they had, and misery and sadness, so it becomes so unbearable. That's why you have people that day and night, they're listening to music, and how loud they turn it on. To me, that's a very sad thing. Doesn't mean every single person is like that. But this thing in America about blasting music in such a way, where it comes from is a person who's very, very afraid to be left alone with one's own thoughts. And there has to be a constant stream of somebody else's consciousness, somebody else's words and thoughts, and somebody else's song. Because that person has no song of his own. You understand what I'm saying? He has no song of his own. He has no essence of his own. Or whatever could be, whatever is there, it's so frightening and there's so much pain. If they think back on themselves as a matzah, just to come to that point of that's real deep inside, there's so much pain that's associated with it. But there's so much emptiness that they can't do it. So instead what they'll do is people will just, you know, this is we're talking here about, we'll give them. Stop. We're talking about the whole entertainment industry. The whole entertainment industry is only, the entertainment industry is only a way. What's the matter? You want to open a window? Yeah, sure. The whole entertainment industry is only a way of giving poor, of putting some sort of taste, tom, of adding some sort of fruit juices to people whose lives are otherwise poor. People who are poor. So then instead of feeling like you're poor, I'm not poor, because I could be the most miserable, I could be the most miserable slob in the world. But I got my VCR. I lie down, I put on the machine, I turn off the lights, and zoom. Now I'm driving with some beautiful girl on some highway in California. Then a minute later I'm on deck with the my favorite baseball team. And then a minute later I'm somewhere off, you know, like in outer space. I'm on the USS Enterprise. You know, so it's a wonderful thing for people who have, for people who are terrified of the thought of being alone, of sensing their emptiness. So they're seeking all these special fruit juices and hummus to fill their lives. And entertainment is a very, very powerful thing. Entertainment has the ability, when you're watching a show, that during the time of that half hour, hour, 2 hours, whatever the movie or show is, it draws you into the lives of people who you're not. You're not those people. But for that half hour, hour, you feel like you are. You understand how all that is chametz? That's what chametz means. You following? What does chametz mean? Again, let's chaz. What does chametz mean? Something that's not you. So, all of these additives, are to take you, are to prevent you from being left alone with you. And the reason that they're so powerful and so popular is because in general in society there's such a bankruptcy of the self, there's such an emptiness of the self, that the last person in the world I want to be left alone with is me. The last person I want to be left alone with is me. So you know what? I get myself a beer, turn on the TV. I'm not alone. Here are my friends. And the time the children are little, these are my cartoon friends who keep me company. Everywhere I go, I have my little cartoon friends. Because after they turn the show off, they're still left with their little cartoon friends in their brains. Children have tremendous imaginations. But then if you go to the toy stores, you see, it's not just that there's a Lion King. There's Lion King thermoses, Lion King lunchbox, Lion King underwear, Lion King toothbrush, Lion King, I'm surprised I don't have Kugel and Chons with Lion King, with the Lion King beans. Right. Right, they have toothbrushes, you have a Lion King toilet, a Lion King sink, you have to have your parents have to dress up as Simba and what's her name, the girl, I don't remember. Neela, I don't remember the name. What was her name? Huh? Nala, I remember something. Yom Kippur. I remember, okay. So, I don't know, Kol Nidre, Neela, you know what I mean. So, yeah. So it's not just a pshat. Elad. Relax. Move the head up. It's not just a pshat with entertainment that is with you while you're watching. Shivis Hashem l'negdi sa'amit. Like it says in the pasuk, Hashem must be always before your eyes. They make the entertainment industry in such a way that even after the children have turned off the show, not just the children, I'm talking about all of us, even after you turn off the show, it stays with you. It remains with you. You have your little Lion King blanket and pillowcase. I'm sure they have pillowcases and sheets.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You have from the moment that you awake to the moment that you go to sleep, you have Lion King is with you. Lion King is with you. You're not alone. You don't have to be alone. You're not alone. You have 2 hours, isn't it? Scott. You're not alone. It's with you. Understand? That's what music is. It's the people that go to sleep with the music on, they wake up with the music on. They eat, they have the music running, and so on. It all comes from that same place. It's not the place of redemption. It's the place of slavery. It comes from the world of slavery, not the place of redemption. Now, that doesn't mean to say that, is the morale telling us that in order to be truly free people, we have to be homeless? I mean, is that what he's saying? No, he's not saying that. Because the morale is talking about becoming free. Once you become free, you have to learn how to use your freedom so that even when you have things, you're still free. How to remain a matzah even after Pesach? That's the mystery. How do you remain a matzah after Pesach? How do you remain free even though you do have a car and a house and nice things? Because the Torah is not against having nice things. But how do you remain free? How do you remain connected to the ideals? How do you remain a person that still believes in the deepest things that are real and true, and not forgetting who you really are, and getting lost in that maze of a million things that are now pulling you away? That's the difficult thing. Because the Torah is not against you having things. The Torah wants you to have things. The Torah wants a person to have and to enjoy, but not to become chametzdik. That's hard. You know, that's very, very hard. Isn't it the hardest thing? Don't you ever feel yourselves when you're with friends that you're not being yourself? Don't you ever feel you're not being yourself? Because you're not quite sure who you are yourself. But you can definitely sense sometimes how you're putting on a show. You never feel that way, you're putting on a show? You must sometimes, no? I was the only one that felt that way or feels that way. You never feel like when you're with friends that you're not being entirely honest to yourself, but you're trying to look, make a certain impression to be a certain way? No. Looking for an honest face over here. I guess it means that you all know that we do that, right? That's part of life. I mean, that's how we are. It's a very, very hard thing. And at work you have to be one way, at home you have to be a different way. In school you're a different way. You know, that's what happens. I always say, you know, you meet parents, you talk to parents about the kids, say, well, I mean, you have the kid's an unbelievable person, all this. So you talking about my child? Are we talking about the same person? So of course talking about the same person. It's just that same person lives a number of different ways. A great person, look, a person always has to have manners. But a great person is who he is, not because of anybody else, just because he is. And therefore, he will be that way wherever he is and with whomever he is. The weaker, the more enslaved, the more you become an extension of everybody you're with. Just like a slave is an extension of their master, when you watch TV, you become an extension of the show. So everybody watches the game and goes outside being a Michael Jordan, right? After you watch the basketball game, you grab the basketball, you went outside, and you go to the basketball courts, and there are a million like Michael Jordans jumping all over the place. You watch some romantic show, you walk outside, and you think you're like, you know, you think that, you know, you're Casanova or somebody. I don't know if you know what that is. But you think of yourself as being some great, you know, romantic guy. Because you just watch some show about romance. So you go out into the street, or you call up some girl, you know, and you say, I just want to tell you that your eyes shine like the stars that come out at night. And she goes, what? She said, yeah, that's how I feel. I wanted to tell you that your eyes shine like the stars that come out at night. And she says, did you just watch some funny TV show from the 40s or something? You've been watching an old movie? Because that's not you. I mean, this is it all the time. So I'm just not us. If you hear that, there's no end to the depth of this morale, what he's saying. Why Hashem tells you to eat matzah and Pesach. It's like an onion or a man, a poor man. And this for sure is what Rabbi Nachman and the Talmud of Baal Shem Tov all meant when they said that a Jew has to be pashut, has to be simple. To understand what pshitus means. The characteristic of pshitus, of simplicity. So you know that when Rabbi Nachman spoke about being simple, he wasn't talking about simple-mindedness. Because if we could think of one of the most complicated brains that was ever on this earth, it was Rabbi Nachman from Breslov, right? If you read five lines from him, you see how complex a person he was. So why was Rabbi Nachman talking simple? Be simple. What did he mean by that, be simple? He didn't mean to be stupid. He meant to be unencumbered. You know what the word in English means to be encumbered? It means schlepping. Schlepping a lot of stuff. You have a lot of bags. Pshitus means poshut. Hashem is the... Maral says all over in this sermon. Hashem is the most poshut. You know why Hashem is poshut? Because he's not composed of different parts. He is what he is always. Well, we see Midas Adim and Sarachim, that's how we see things. But not Hashem and his essence, God forbid, right? To be simple. He's not telling us to be dumb. He's telling us to be essential. To be always, to be one. Something that's one. Here's the plastic case of the tape. Is this one plastic case? I'm holding my hand one plastic case, right?
It's two parts.
Of course. But it has two parts. In addition to that, everybody, if we proceed further, then we have now three. Right? This comes apart, I just don't want to mess it up. So we have four. Five. Six. And if I stop with that, it's not the end. Yeah, that's the beauty of how you can make things work in this world. But if I continue to break it down, eventually I get to the point where I'm working with molecules, right? So now, let's say, okay, so they say, okay, Rabbi, okay, but now, there's only one piece of paper now. Right? That's two. But it was only one. No, it wasn't. It was two. It was just that they were glued together before I tore them apart. Now these molecules are over here. And they say, hey, mommy, daddy. In fact, they're old molecules over here. They're over here. No more. Goodbye to these molecules, and they're separate. And they're unified for one purpose, Elad, you're right. That's how we work in this world. That's what we do. But the problem with that is, you begin to think, after a while, you begin to think that something which is a million is really one. So the rich man sits at home by himself because his, the maids are out somewhere, and his wife is probably with some other guy someplace. So the rich man sits by himself and says to himself, "It's truly good being alone, being to myself." He's by himself. He's not by himself. He's just separated momentarily, physically, from all the complications. But inside himself, there are billion trillion pieces. And simplicity means, being simple means being one. Hashem is simple because he's not made up of different parts. Hashem doesn't have parts. That's what it means to be simple. Does that have parts? You take a simple sentence. Meir is nice. It's a simple sentence. Meir is nice. What does that sentence imply? That implies that Meir is sometimes not nice. Why does that imply that? Because what I'm saying is that now, as I speak, Meir is nice. Or if I say Meir is a nice person. Let's say it like that. Meir is a nice person. But it also means that it's possible for him to not to be a nice person, or else there's no reason for me to praise him for being a nice person, right? That's already not oneness. That's not oneness. That means there are two things that exist in the world. There's something called niceness, and there's something called Meir. And it happens that at this moment, Meir and niceness came together. Or in this person's life, Meir and niceness have a shidduch. But there are two things that exist. Meir exists, and there's something called niceness. That's not one. They're independent things. Also, all the Rishonim talk about that. The Rambam, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, Rabbi Abachai, Rabbi Sadi Gomi, you have to understand that when we speak about Hashem, we're not saying anything about Hashem because He's completely simple. You can't say that Hashem is good, kind, generous, because it's implying that there's something called Hashem, and in addition to Hashem, there's something called generosity and so on, and all these different things make up Hashem, God forbid.
It's all one.
It's all one. So what it means is that in our way of understanding, Hashem is not the opposite of kindness. He's not the opposite of generosity. But we don't understand what his kindness is, generosity. And we say, all the separate midas of Hashem, He's all one. Shema Yisrael, Hashem, okay, Hashem Echad. You think when it says Hashem is one, it means that there's only one Hashem and there's not other Hashems. It means Hashem is absolutely one. But the rich man doesn't have that oneness. That's the Maral saying. The rich man doesn't have that way of oneness. The rich man has the way of multiplicity, of manyness. Maybe that's why money is the same letters as many. Same Isis, money and many. Because a rich man doesn't have that yechidius, that oneness. Now look what he goes. Now listen to this, listen to this. A second column ratio test right on top. Let's go. Now we understand why the redemption of the Jewish people Davka took place in Nisan. This Shabbos is Shabbos Mevarachim Rosh Chodesh. Shabbos HaChodesh Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And why is it that Hashem redeemed us Davka in the first month? Because you all know that the first month according to our time is Nisan. I recount Tishrei, Hashanah, it's all Cheshvan, it's not for now. But the first month of the year is Nisan. So why did redemption take place in the month of, in the first month? Because redemption can only take place when there's nothing else attached to you. There's only one month that has nothing else attached to it. Which is that? The first month. Because the first is alone. Once you're the second, third, fourth, fifth, that means there was already something else besides you. Only number one had some time alone in the sun. That's why, by the way, the firstborn son has Kedusha. The Bechor has Kedusha. Because there was a time when the Bechor was completely alone. None of the other children were ever alone. None of the other children were ever alone. The Bechor was alone. That's Kedusha. Kedusha comes from that. Kedusha comes, that's redemption. Kedusha comes from that being alone. So the first month of the year had a time when it was alone. And that's, you'll understand why is it that Davka the Mishkan was put up, Davka was the year of Rosh Chodesh Nisan. There's a lot to talk about. From there redemption comes. The first month has no time. It's the beginning of time. It's by itself. Once it's already 5 o'clock in the afternoon, it's connected to 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and so on. It's only the first moment. It's absolutely new. It's absolutely... The first moment is its own. The second month already is connected to. Veins are royal agula. It's not a time for redemption. Because redemption means standing on your own, being your own. Klal adover. The general principle of all of this is kol inyan hagula stalkus mizilosa lamad be'atzmai. Gula means tearing yourself away from all else and standing on your own. Lo yilham tziru fechibra zilosai adover zeroi shiye b'chodesh rishon. And this is fitting for the first month. Ki adover sh'neshava misyachis al hazman sh'nasa b'yoysa havaya. Because anything that takes place in this world, anything that's created, is connected to the time in which it takes place, to the time in which it's born and it happens. ולפיכך הזמן שהוא ראשון ואין בו חיבור וציר הזמן מיוחד לגאולה. Therefore the time that is the first month, the first time stands on its own and is a time of redemption. Shaguli, that's why Chazal say Benisa Negola, Benisa Nasin Negola. That Nisan is still the best time for redemption. It's still the best time. It's the most opportune time for redemption. And that's why it happens, that's why it's the beginning of the spring. Because what does this spring mean? It means the world first coming back to life. It's the beginning of the world. The world was dead. And in the spring the world comes to life. After that already life becomes complicated. But the first moment that life comes into being, it's simple. You understand what I'm saying? Why is it that Pesach is in the spring? You following it all? Sean? Swift. It's the beginning. After that, it's already, it gets old. Why does everybody feel a certain way when it's just the spring and the flowers come up and there's a certain feeling? It's the beginning. It's a little bit, the world is on its own again. But then afterwards it gets already caught up in a million other things. That's the way it is.
ומזה טובין כי הכוסף הוא כפשוט השיב הסיום תריך על מצ, עליו מצ, יש לחם עיני, כי בחיפוזן יצוסים ממצרים. Now you understand a very deep thing the Maral is telling us. Now you understand why is it that the Jewish people had to leave Egypt in a hurry. What was the rush? And the whole difficulty in understanding, what do you mean lechem is lechem only, the bread of rush? We were told we were going to leave Mitzrayim. What was the rush? We had matzahs when we ate the Korban Pesach that night. Right? We ate matzahs in Mitzrayim, we ate by the Korban Pesach. And then it sounds like it's saying, well, but there's lechem only that we eat because we ran out of Mitzrayim. So we didn't have, anybody ask you, why do we eat matzahs? We didn't have time to bake. We didn't have time. It wasn't a surprise leaving Mitzrayim. You all know it wasn't a surprise. We ate matzahs at the Korban Pesach at night. It wasn't a surprise leaving Mitzrayim. So since the time of Truman, we say, well, the reason we eat matzah is because it says, like, Yochel is my man, we didn't have time.
Yeah. We didn't have time for the dough to rise.
We were in such a hurry that we didn't have time to wait for the dough to rise. We had to just put the thing into the oven, grab it while it was still a matzah. Before it got, 18 minutes. Why? We had matzahs for the Korban Pesach. It wasn't, in other words, obviously Hashem wanted us to have matzahs, not just. So what does it mean by chippos? What's the rush of leaving Mitzrayim? Now wait to hear this now, what the Maral says. See how it fits into everything. Why is it a rush? Because slavery means the second minute, the third minute, the fourth minute, the fifth minute, the tenth minute. It seems like it goes on and on and on because each minute is enslaved to the minute before. There's nothing new, there's nothing fresh, there's nothing that's redeemed. Listen carefully. Therefore, Yetzias Mitzrayim had to take place in a hurry. So Maral explains. Look inside. We left Mitzrayim in a hurry. Perish. Why do we eat this special bread of redemption that is poor, that's not enslaved to anything, that's its own? Why do we eat that? The reason is because we left Mitzrayim in a hurry. What does chipazn mean, being in a hurry? Something is fast. It has no delay. No ikuv, no hemshech zman. It doesn't drag out over time. It's a hurry.
That just like we left Mitzrayim in the first month, because the first is the beginning, therefore it stands on its own, and it's the month of redemption.
What's the closest you can get to always having the first moment? Rushing. Hurrying, right? What does hurrying mean? Hurrying means that I'm trying that the second, third moment should still be like the first moment. Do you understand? That's what hurrying is. I want that the second, third, fourth minute should be as similar to the first minute as possible. That's what it means. That's why I'm rushing. I don't know if you understand this. Let's give an example. I'm supposed to be, I'm supposed to be at an appointment at 8 o'clock in the morning. But it's already 8:02. And I'm rushing. Why am I rushing? Because I'm trying to make it stay at 8 o'clock or at 8:02. Right? I don't want it to go ahead. I want it to stay the first. That's what rushing always means. Rushing means my struggle to preserve the beginning. To be alone with that first moment. That's what rushing means. Slavery? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The moment's no longer alone. A million moments. That's what slavery means. That's why the description of slavery at the beginning of Sefer Shmos is a very, very powerful description. It says, Vayihi bayomim harabim ahein. And it was in those many, many days. Vayokim melech hodesh ha-mitzrayim ishal yodes Yosef. There was a new king who didn't know Yosef. So listen, you have to get a feeling for the pasuk. Vayihi bayom harabim ahein. That's slavery. That's slavery. When you're someplace where you really don't want to be, time doesn't move. You feel like, oh, you're schlepping. And when you're really, really happy and you're being yourself, close fist. It's an amazing thing. So, Vayihi Bayom HaRab Mahim. That's Mitzrayim. Vayihi Bayom HaRab Mahim. So, we eat matzah. No. Which is called Lechem Oini. Because you left Mitzrayim in a hurry. You left Mitzrayim with a desire to be yourself. To be free from other moments and other people and other things and other ways that are not really you. The essential self, the essential simple you is that one. And rushing means to try to maintain that feeling of the beginning. Of being at the beginning. That's what it means to rush. Shekol Rishon Misyachis, we're finishing that paragraph. Shekol Rishon Misyachis El Gula Lechiba Zman Shezeh Ein Shayach LeGula Shesorach El HaGula Histalkas Atzir V'achiv Lefichach Darvazeh Bor Kashetovin Divri Chochma Kashetovin Divri Chochma. The next paragraph on the bottom. Vayiteda. I'm actually starting to finish this one. And you should know, Vayiteda. And you should know, Eich hamatze shilach hamayni shayach el hagula. Vizek yaoni shein lo dover vizeini in pshitus. Now he uses the word. Simpleness. Kashu oimed ba'atzmai. B'dovizeh im shuchisar nechshu ba'olam hazeh shu oilam ha'akavu malasa ba'akavu. Now the Maharal says, in this world being simple and being poor is looked down upon. You know why? Because this world is a complicated composite world of many. That's what oilam hazeh is. There's this, there's that. There are a million things. Look how hard it is to, you know, it's impossible for us to think of Olam Haba. Tell me what's in the world to come. When you think of the world to come, you don't think of the entire world to come with all the tzaddikim who ever died. Being on the head of, on the head of the pin of, an, you know, of an, the eye of a needle. You don't think of it like that. You think like, when we think of Olam Haba, we think of like a huge palace. And you like, you know, all these rooms and like, you know, Avraham Avinu and Yitzhak Avinu and all these unbelievable things and, you know, emeralds and rubies and things shining. We think of many, many things because we think of it like this world. But you know, the whole Olam Haba you can carry in your pocket because it doesn't take up any place. Not even, you don't even need your pocket. It doesn't take up a place. But the human mind is not capable of thinking of that because the human mind is from this world, and this world is a world of many. This world is composed of many things. So therefore, the Maharal says, in this world, poverty is looked down upon, and in this world, everybody wants to have more. Loisa gula mitzad ha'ilum hazeh, shu'ilum ha'murkov. Next page. Rak mitzad ha'ilum ha'elion ha'poshet, page reishchav. That night we had to be poor. That night we had to temporarily experience a little bit of what it's like in the world to come, where there is nothing except you and Hashem. If you have tziva lechol matzah lechem ayini shalechem apashit. Therefore, we are commanded to eat matzah lechem ayini shalechem apashit, which is simple bread. Sheyein boi dover rak etzem pashit. Kiloshen matzah bal dover shu pashit kamesh nikra. Ha'or shu pashit delay meliach v'lay kimiach v'lay office v'or pashit b'shem matzah. Everybody knows that even though the whole year the Kohen Gadol would wear a special gold clothing, but in Yom Kippur, when he went all the way into the Kodesh Kodesh Yom Kippur with the Ketores, which garments did he wear? The white. Big Day Lovin, right? That's why in Yom Kippur we wear white. Because what does white mean? It means the begin. It means without other colors added onto it. It means non-colored. V'zeo b'shkishu koinim adreg al yoyne, sherei hoya nichnas lufnai v'lifnim, because when the Kohen Gadol had to try to lift himself up to a level of being on the level of Olam Haba, when he had to tear himself away from all the, thank you, from all of the encumbering things of this world, and all the artificial things of this world, when he went to Yom Kippur to the Kodesh Kodashim, he nichnas lufnai v'lufnai shesal madregas ha'ilum hazeh shemadregas ha'inu pashit v'lekach yeshul l'shamish v'kolosh and b'gdei zahar b'chutz all year long when there's chametz, so to speak, all year long the Kohen Gadol wears the clothing of this world, which is gold clothing, which is something fancy and extra and rich and composed. Aval kishen nichnas lufnai v'lufnim. And Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol goes all the way into that Madrega of Olam Haba, into the world that is the next world, Yeshu L'shamish B'Bigdei Lavan, and he wears the white garments. Davke. L'fi Mailus HaMadrega Sh'nichlas L'sham Ki B'Bigdei Lavan Heim Pshutim. Because the B'Bigdei Lavan are simple. Go and bury their dead in tuxedos, you know? And you know that when we're 120, we leave this world, we're buried in Tachrichim? In shrouds, and you know the shrouds are only allowed to be made from one piece, it's not cut, there are no seams, you know that? There are no seams, it's not sewed together from different pieces. Why is that? It's simple, it's one. It's made out of one thing. They just cut the hole, but it's not sewn together, there are no seams.
Big colors.
Yeah, there are no seams. So why is that? You understand why? It's simple. Why tachrichim that is simple? Doesn't have a seam. Because if it's two pieces already, it's not simple. Listen, in life, things became desimplified. So in this world, there's a rule. Yesh lo imono writes him a sign. A person has $100, he wants $200. No person dies ever feeling that he got half of what he wanted. I mean, how much he got? When Donald Trump goes, he's going to think, I could have had that other casino. Just like the poor guy that says, I could have gotten another $50. So Donald Trump's going to die also thinking, I only got half. Listen. So in this world we became very caught up in things and other things, things that divert our attention from the essence of the self. When you leave this world they dress you up in simple tachrichim. Just like you came into this world, you know, wearing your birthday suit. Simple. No chachmas. When you leave the world, no chachmas. Huh? The moment you're born is a moment of absolute freedom. After that's downhill. Because then your parents tell you what to do and stuff. You know, when your parents bring you into a certain kind of a life. The moment you're born and the moment you die. That's the first moment of Olam Haba, right? Now we think of death as being the last moment of life. But from the true perspective, from the perspective of Olam Haba, death is the first moment of life, of Olam Haba. So you wear the white tachrichim. Something white, which means uncomplicated, something simple, something pure, like the Kohen Gadol going to the Big Day 11. And that's why Kala wears a white gown. It's interesting, I think even by the Goyim they wear white gowns. Maybe they had, I don't know. Even though you get these colors that have, have long histories behind them of impurity, when it comes to the chasna, it's a little game with the vaisa gown, right? She wants to go with a white gown. Here comes the bride, all dressed in white. Here they should be wearing fashrasta gowns. Right, schwarze gowns, not white gowns. But you know what? You know what? They have that. But you know what? No. Because in the subconsciousness, in the deeper consciousness of the world, there's this desire that I want to start again. I want to be one again, start again, see what the person is. That's what we wear. We wear because that's an emissive thing, it's a true thing. That's why the chassid puts on a kittel also, right? A white jacket. Yeah. Where it comes from. Tzaddikim used to only wear white. Tzaddikim used to wear all white. Yeah. And wearing that, and even if they didn't during the week, Shabbos was surely, but the tzaddikim, Talmid Hashem went in white all the time. The Ariya Kodesh, they went in white. And the Indian is, because the tzaddik is always, always himself. He's always in that place of lechem oni, of redemption. He's always in that place of redemption. Now, we already have generations on a lower level. We can't do this anymore. We don't understand. But on Yom Kippur, you wear white. Yom Kippur. You know what? That's the custom of wearing a kittel by the Pesach Seder. Sfarim don't have that custom. Ashkenazim. To wear the kittel. By the Pesach Seder, Ashkenazim wear. Yeah. I don't think Chabad do either.
Also
they
wear,
uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like
Hebrew style. Also. To wear by the Pesach Seder. And then the Nesiv talks about that by the Pesach Seder we all become like the Kohen Gadol wearing the white garment. But now we understand what that means. As you're eating a piece of matzah which is lechem oni, you wear the simple, pure white garment of the Kohen Gadol going into Yom Kippur, lifnei v'lifnim, and that's why Yom Kippur you wear the kittel, and when you die you wear the kittel, and when you're married you wear the kittel. Some people get married and die the same day. It all depends who you marry. Right? Could be.
Nah, dead.
You get your marriage certificate, death certificate, you get stamped. Take him away.
I do.
One stamp.
I do and I don't, it comes together. Mamish. Shouldn't be glossy, but you hear, why the white? Why? Because that's the same thing. It means pshitas. Pshitas, simple. It means olam haba. By the way, there's the custom, it's brought down in the swarm, there's the custom that, I don't know if you've seen this, that Jewish women in Yom Kippur also dress completely in white. And I've seen such konyas that they'll go white, mamish from head to toe, with a white scarf and white dress and white sneaker, everything white, completely white, white stockings, everything white. On Yom Kippur. I don't know. The kach yisul l'shamish v'chol shonu b'gdei zohar v'chul b'chutz. Amo kishinach l'lov n'alu yisul shonu b'gdei lov n'fi mazman v'gdei shonu z'ham. Ki b'gdei lov v'nei psutim. White garments are simple. Lekach tziva b'lel zeh l'achol matzah. Shul lechem oini poshut mikol. Therefore we eat matzah on this night, which is simple. Ki b'lel zeh n'gol l'madregel yoyna. K'chol madregel yoyna yesh ba pshitas. Because the higher madregel, the madregel of Olam Haba has pshitas is simple. Shepeh shakos v'shivas yom techel olav matzah. Shul lechem oini. Bechipazim yetzazim mitzrayim. That's the chipazim. This has a haggadah in it. This has a haggadah? No. We have to next week get the haggadah. So I want to start singing some nigunim. To start to sing some nigunim from the haggadah. One second. The whole tachlis of being in this world is to somehow be in this world with all the gold, silver, and copper, and to be able to maintain that whiteness. That's a hard thing. Very few people could do that. We're reading now the parashas. The Mishkan is connected to this. It's a very, very hard thing to do. Anyway, Akash Baruch should help us. That's in, you know, also on Shabbos, that they should be white. Anytime you try to come back to that clarity, to that oneness, that's the end of Masa. So I'm hoping at least the answer is none of you will want to eat egg matzahs on Pesach. At least. Not eat egg matzahs on Pesach.